Hello.
Okay, hello. Yay.
Yay. Episode 14.
I know. Wow.
I feel like we do that every time. We're like, episode 13, 14.
And then we're, yay. Honestly, though, because, like, wow, we've come a really long way, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a journey.
All right.
Yeah, so let's check in.
Yeah. How are you, Crystal?
I'm okay. It's been a rough week. Yeah, I'm okay. It's just been a really emotional week, but I've been trying to just do the best I can.
Mm-hmm.
But then, let's see, what did I do this week? I went to visit my friend Sharla, near her house, and then she took me to this, like, really cool coffee shop, and then we, like, just ended up having conversations with, like, these two random women who sat next to us, because, like, Sharla and I were talking about hobbies and stuff, and this woman next to me was just like, oh yeah, I do photography too, and she was telling me about, like, the photography stuff, which is really funny. It's just funny because, like, they were talking, I think the two women who sat next to us were Christian, and a lot of their things that they were talking about was, like, religious stuff. Like, they were talking to Charlotte about some religious stuff. And I was just sitting there, like, Like, it's really cool to see how dedicated they all two are to, like, their religion and stuff. But I was just like, oof, there's some things that I don't agree with. But then I was just like, it's rude to, like, interrupt. And I don't want to, like, start a whole conversation. So I was just, like, nodding. But it was cool because I feel like I haven't had those kinds of interactions since COVID. Like the
just, like, random interactions. Talk.
Random talking to random people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really fun, actually. And then, oh, I had dinner with George's friends for his birthday. That was really funny. Yeah. We got free In-N-Out. Oh, not In-N-Out. We got free Salt and Straw.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I got Salt and Straw on my birthday.
Oh, wait, this year?
Yeah, this year. Well, it's like 2 months away.
Yes.
Still.
Do it. Mm-hmm. Is it free if it's your birthday?
I think so.
Ooh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because one of his friends works at Salt and Straw.
Mm.
And so, like, we were expecting to get a discount. But then the person who was, like, working, the cashier was just like, oh, it's free. So, like, there were, like, six people.
Oh,
and we all just got free ice creams.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I thought it's only the person's first birthday that day. Whoa.
Yeah, no, we all got free ice cream. Whoa. And
hacks, if anyone is listening and your birthday is coming up soon, go to Salt Raw. Not sponsored, but they have, like, really good ice cream.
Or just be friends with someone who works there and you'll have free ice cream. It's so funny because the themes right now are books. And they have this one ice cream. Do you know the Geronimo Stilton?
No.
Series? It's about the mouse. But they had, like, it's about, like, a mouse that, like, goes on adventures and stuff. It's for kids.
Mm.
And it's, like, it teaches you, like, values. Like, good values. And, like, you learn English, I guess. And I used to read that growing up. And there was a flavor of that. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Aww. I forgot about this book series.
Hey, that's so cute.
Yeah. It was nice. Yeah, but other than that, yeah, it's been a long week, so I'm glad that it is Sunday.
Yay.
And we're moving on to a new week.
Yeah.
But yeah, how about you? What did you do?
It's been, I mean, like, yeah, California just opened up this week, so I feel like I've gotten more opportunities to, like, go out and eat. So what did I do this week? Honestly, like, just like the usual. But I also went on a run with my dad on, like, Wednesday, and I can finally take my mask off. Honestly, like, my lung is just, like, so small that I run out of breath very easily, no matter what I have a mask or not. But But that was really fun because, I don't know, I just feel like it feels nice to be able to run and, like, breathe in fresh air. But it's also very interesting. I think we can talk about it more in the next episode. But, like, yeah, I'm, like, actually scared when people, like, cough next to me. Like, not intentionally, like, just cough next to me or, like, do, like, there was a kid who was, like, Then he was just like having fun, you know, like not doing it intentionally. But then I was like, oh my god, I need to run away from it. yeah, that was interesting. And what else did I do? And yesterday, we celebrated. I finally got to see, like, have a family dinner in my grandparents' house after, like, almost a year, like, I think 8 months maybe. And then that was just a day where we celebrate everyone's birthday, like, prior to that, and also Father's Day. So we were celebrating my dad's birthday, my grandma's birthday, and also Father's Day. Yeah, so we got really good food. I got to have jeong. We had jeong.
Oh my god, yeah. Yes. I have some. My aunt like made some, so I went to get some from her.
Yeah, I missed it. And then we also got bao zai, well, hao yi fan.
Ooh, so
I don't
good.
Know how to say it. Lotus leaf. And then wrapped in rice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really. Oh, and also gokju pa fan.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I miss.
My tummy is full. We didn't even have dinner yesterday. we just ate lunch. We ate so much during lunch. Oh, we also have a cake afterwards. But that was that. Oh, and also this week I hang out with Dion and Sean. If you're listening, I love you. Thanks for hanging out. Yeah, we went to the Mission District. And then we got good burritos.
Ooh.
Like in SF. It's like,
okay.
That is an area with a lot of good food. We also went to the Mission Dolores Park. It's known as like either, I don't know, like the gay park or the weed park. There are a lot of people who smoke weed there, but there are also a lot of LGBTQ people hang out there. It was a really nice day, which is very rare for San Francisco. There's like literally no clouds in the sky, and it was such a nice day. And then because of that, we also went to Twin Peaks. I don't know if you have heard of it. It's like the highest point. I think it's the highest point, like hill in San Francisco. And then you can basically overlook the whole city. And because it was cloudless, like the view was just amazing.
Oh, so pretty.
Yeah.
I'm looking at pictures.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was a really good day. That was, okay, honestly, Dion was the first friend that I hang out with ever since I left LA.
Oh,
yeah, so
really?
It's been more than a year. Yeah, I haven't seen anyone outside of my family.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wholesome. Well, more to come.
Mm-hmm. Yay! I know.
Yes. Yeah, I forgot that California opened
15th
recently.
Yeah, on the 15th.
Scary. I'm scared.
Yeah.
But are you celebrating with your dad today as well?
We were gonna go to the beach, but then it was really foggy this morning. But then now it's clearing up, so I don't know. We'll see how the weather looks and decide we want to go to the beach. But if not, I think we're just going to Chinatown and do some grocery shopping.
Aw, I love. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how I'm celebrating.
Yes. I literally just called my dad yesterday because it was yesterday in Hong Kong. So, yeah. So, happy Father's Day to everyone else's fathers or like father figures.
Yeah.
And especially I feel like people who don't have a good relationship with their dads or don't have a dad or their dad passed away or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No pressure to celebrate. I feel like that's the thing about holidays sometimes. It's just like
the pressure.
It hits people differently.
Celebrate.
And I feel like a lot of people are posting unaware that like other people, this might be a hard day for other people.
Yeah, so it's okay to like take a day off from social media too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Oh, bless you. Don't sneeze in public.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we move on?
Oh yes.
Okay. No. Let's move on to our this or that. It's another food item because I don't think we've ever like done a this or that for dim sum food. Honestly, there's so many like
good foods dim sum
in Hong
food.
Kong that we can just do like, all our food can just be like, I mean, all our this or that can just be food. But today's one is hagao versus siumai, like the dim sum kind, not the street food kind.
That's what makes it hard, because I love the street food siumai.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, I think... Okay, this is the non-vegetarian summer speaking, because I don't eat them now. But when I go back to Hong Kong, I do. I'll say siumai. It's because I love... Yeah, I just like siumai more in general. Hagao, like, I will always order siumai whenever I go yamcha. But hagao is not a must for me. But allow me to like derail a little bit. Oh my gosh, my favorite is actually chanfan. Like just straight up, just chanfan with nothing in it. Bak chan, jing chan. And then with soy sauce. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that soy sauce is so good.
I know. And then like it's called bao lai chan and it's like really smooth and thin. Ooh. I think chanfan is rice noodle. Yeah. Oh, it's just, my favorite from yum cha food.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I never order just the chanfan.
Yeah,
always order,
no one shrimp. Does that. Only me. Well, because
I'm going to have to try next time.
Yeah. Because like when I was a kid, my nanny, I have a nanny, right? And then my nanny also has a mom. And she's like really old. So whenever we go to yum cha, she has to eat something like more like healthier and like less salt and stuff. So she always order that for her. But because I grew up with them, so I always eat that one too, the chanfan too. That's why
I see. Oh,
it's different.
Yes, I think I'm exactly opposite from you, because like when we go to dim sum, the first thing I order is always hagao. And hagao and lo mai gai, I think. Those two are like my favorite. Yeah, hagao. I just like eat it with hot sauce. It's so good.
Yes.
Siumai, I'm like, I like siumai, but then the dim sum kind, I'm like, it's okay if I don't have it, because like I'll just go get street food siumai. But yeah, hagao. Funny story. Funny story, when the first time George had dim sum, because, like, when I was eating hagao, you know how, like...
Wait, when was it? When was the first time George had dim sum? I'm curious.
2020, February. Oh, like, Chinese New Year, 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so, I was eating... We were with my extended family, and we were at dim sum. And then, I was eating hagao. And you know how, like, it's so easy to fall out, like, the shrimp?
Yeah.
Out of, like, the wrapping.
Yeah.
And then, so, it fell out. So, I just, like, ate the shrimp, and then I ate the skin, and then he thought that was the way out, you were supposed to eat it. And then so he like purposely like removed the shrimp from the dumpling, and then he just ate it separately because he was like watching me on like what you're supposed to do.
No, it's funny. I appreciate him for like, you know, trying to respect the like quote unquote right way to eat it. No, that's a good sign, honestly. It's a good sign.
It's just so funny. Yeah, but the good thing is it was subtle. Nobody noticed. Imagine if it was something else. Imagine if, like, it was, like, lo mai gai, and then, like, I did something. I don't know.
Then you eat the leaf or something.
Yeah. He just eats the leaf.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh my god, okay.
Are you crying?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. We love this.
No, okay. Imagine. Okay, just imagine when we eat white food. Like, I don't know if I can eat white people food.
Like but a like, burger?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, imagine, you know, some people, they eat ice cream from the bottom. And then what if, like, you're trying to observe the
the
culture. And then you, like, follow that person to eat an ice cream from the bottom.
That's so funny. Wow, that's TikTok worthy. Yeah. I might have to.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Good intentions. So funny. But yes, hagao for me.
Nice. Wow, different answer again this time.
I know.
Okay, cool. So, should we get into, like, the juicy part of today?
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited
to relation to Father's Day.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about, like, our relationships with our fathers and paternal love and maybe masculinity.
Yes, we'll see. We'll see where the conversation leads us. Mm-hmm. We don't have that much structure.
Yeah. Okay, so.
For this.
Before we go into, like, the deeper stuff, do you just want to talk about, like, how your relationships with your dad is?
Mm-hmm. We can start with that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I don't really reflect on these things because
yeah.
It makes me emotional. Like, mm-hmm. I don't really think about it. Hmm. I guess as kids, I'm trying to think. I think he, well, because, like, how my family dynamic works is that my dad was always the one working, and my mom was always, like, stay-at-home, like, housewife. And so I think that it's always been good, except that there's a lot of things that, like, normally as a kid that your parents would shield from you, like, they won't tell you a lot of things. But I think a lot of things are not verbally communicated, which can get tricky sometimes, like, mm-hmm. especially with my dad. I think my mom and I, we are very openly communicative now, even though there are some things that we don't talk about. But then we are mostly, like, I'm more open with her and expressing, like, how I feel or, like, different political views or, like, whatever, mm-hmm. like, in that sense. But then with my dad, it's less so like that. I think even though he's good-intentioned, he's very... I wouldn't say arrogant is the word. He's very unconsciously, like, masculine, like, unconsciously, maybe not toxically masculine, but he unconsciously, like, thinks that he's right all the time. I don't know if this is because, like, he is a man or whatever, or his life experiences. I wouldn't say it's, like, in a bad way necessarily, but sometimes it just doesn't have, there's no room for conversation sometimes. But I think in relation to, like, me and, like, supporting me and stuff, he has always been very supportive. Like, he has always encouraged me to follow whatever I want to, but I think sometimes his support comes on really strong, and I think it, like, well intentionedly it comes on strong. And my dad's a very logical person,
mm-hmm.
and he rationalized everything with logic. He's also very experienced in life, so I feel like sometimes when I try to foster conversation in like presenting my ideas, sometimes he has a way of, like, shutting it down and, like, not twisting it, but he has a way of making me agree with him sometimes,
mm-hmm.
even if I had, like, different views in the moment, he would make it in a way where I like can't argue back or, like, can't say anything back. And then I just think the communication part is still, like, it hasn't really changed. It's kind of the same. I think it's changed a little bit in the sense that he's been telling me more about, like, stuff he never used to tell me. But then in terms of, like, how we communicate, it's still so similar. It's still, like, not effective communication, which is so weird because I think that's really important in, like, any kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason with him, it's just, like, really hard. So that's how my relationship was with him, or is with him. It's hard to think on the spot.
Yeah, I don't really reflect on this thing very often either.
I know.
I think it's a good opportunity for us to just kind of reflect. I think for me, I need to think too. I think my relationship with my dad definitely has changed over time. When I was a kid, I think I've mentioned it in previous episode, that my dad used to be very strict on me. Like, there's, like, a lot of, like, physical punishment going up. And I think, like, because of that, like, yeah, there were, like, when I'm, like, disobedient, there will always be a lot of, like, yelling and, like, physical punishment. And I think because of that, like, when I was a kid, the image that my dad has on me was a very, what's the word, authoritative, like, figure. Like, I have to, like, listen to him, and I'm actually scared of him, and, like, I would do whatever, like, he says. Yeah, I always have to, like, be obedient in front of him. But I think as I grow older, I get more freedom, and I think because of the strict parenting I had growing up, I learned to be very obedient And that also helped me to build trust between me and my dad, or like my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that trust, he is becoming more lenient as I grow up.
Mm.
And I'm gaining more freedom, relatively more freedom. I feel like I still have a pretty strict parents compared to like maybe other people.
Mm.
But yeah, I think now, I don't know like at which point our relationship changed, but now our relationship just became like this very like, I don't know, it's like very hilarious and like funny and like casual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Where like we roast each other all the time.
Yeah,
we make fun of each other all the time, like every single day. No, the moment I wake up.
Aww.
Literally the moment
you open your eyes.
Honestly, yes, because we live together now, and then mm-hmm. he's also working from home, and my mom has to go to work, so it's just the two of us at
home.
Yeah, we just make fun of each other all the time now, and I think that's also very interesting because like he maybe like sometimes he would do things that are considered like too like masculine, like I don't know, like dai la mian type of thing, and then I will make fun of him, and then it would be okay. Then that, I think that's also like kind of makes him think about, oh, maybe like this is like too like dai la mian kind of thing, you know.
That's interesting. I was just gonna say it's interesting because like it seems like I feel like the disciplinary figure oftentimes and like growing up in Hong Kong at least that I observed is a lot of mom figures, right? The mom is always the one that's like very disciplinary. The mom's always the one like in charge of like making sure the kid is like following rules. I think that's like the traditional like gender roles, whatever you want to call it. Like the mom is supposed to take care of the kid and the dad like is supposed to work, right? But for you, it seems like your dad was the one who was the disciplinary role.
Well, he's the disciplinary one, but not the taking care of one, if that makes sense. You know, so like my both of my parents, they're working parents.
Yeah.
So I think, but growing up, my mom is more involved in taking care of me than my dad. Like my mom like will
school bus
to take the school bus,
mm-hmm.
and she'll be the one checking up on me every day when I was a kid, like she'll be at work and then I'll call her, but I never do it to my dad, you know. I don't really call him unless I have something emergent, urgent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but in terms of disciplinary, because my mom, she doesn't want, like, she doesn't have, like, that, like, I guess, like, emotion and, like, anger and, like, that scary face. To, like, physically punish me.
Yeah.
Or, like, yell at me. But my dad can. Mm. So my dad, like, he can get, like, sometimes kind of moody. Even now. But not in an abusive way.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah.
But he gets, like, moody sometimes. So in that sense, like, my dad is the one who's disciplining me, and my mom is the one who's taking care of me.
That just made me think of, like, because I feel like the term Asian mom, not Asian mom, sorry, tiger parent, like, tiger mom, that's a very common term, right? But there's often no tiger dad. Like, I'm sure there is a lot of tiger dads out there.
Oh, honestly, yeah.
But where's the term tiger dad? Why is it coined tiger mom? I think it's just because, like, a lot of the disciplinal roles fall into the mother often in Hong Kong, at least.
I think so.
Maybe that's why it's tiger mom.
I
think so.
I feel like there's this, I don't know if it's a stereotype or if it's, like, true, but the dad is also the one, always the one who's, like, more laid-back.
Yeah.
And, like, doesn't really want to get involved in, like, all the family drama.
And the stereotype where, like, if a kid, like, wants something, they ask the dad. And then the dad has to, like, consult the mom.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, the dad will, like, give the kid money or something if the kid asks the dad versus, like, the mom.
Yeah, I do agree. I also feel like sometimes, like, dad is portrayed as the more lenient. Right. I think, but in my family, I think my parents, they take a more equal gender role. Especially like since like I start getting older too. I don't know. Just like, because now my dad, I just told you, like, now my dad used to not know how to cook at all. It was always my mom who's cooking for us and like doing laundry for us and like doing all the housework and stuff. In terms of like, on top of her regular job, you know. But now it's changed gradually. I don't know why. Like, my dad, he's the one who's like working from home now. He's the one who's cooking all dinner, like meals for us, breakfast. He's in charge and all of that. And then my mom is the one who's working outside. And then he'll do all the housework, like, vacuum the floor and like everything. I don't know. Yeah, it's very interesting. My mom like actually talked to me about it. She also thinks like he's changed over time.
They're still growing together. I love that. I feel like it has changed. The norm has shifted. Like, it's definitely gotten better in terms of gender roles now. Oh my god, I just thought of this, but remember when women had to like zatgar in the past in like Chinese culture? They aren't supposed to leave the house.
They like tiny feet.
I think my grandma's generation. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's just, we've come a
long
way.
Maybe this is an education thing we can
talk about. Yeah. But then I feel like Instagram. Even though now that there's more stay-at-home dads, I feel like that's a thing. Or even like mannies. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of that? Like man nannies? Like male nannies?
Yeah.
I feel like they are not as credited or not as well. If you're a stay-at-home dad, I feel like people then like question it, or like if you're a male nanny, then people like society also looks down. But also I feel like the credibility of you being a male nanny out like in that industry, it's probably like less high as a woman kind of thing. So even though like there are these new roles and new like breaking gender stereotypes things going on, I feel like the consensus of thought a lot of times is still the same. Like, we have to, like, consciously break that.
I agree, because just now you're talking about it. Like, even, I feel like for a lot of, like, I don't know, like, traditionally feminine, quote-unquote feminine job. Like, if a man is in that industry, you are bound to have people like looking down on you, like questioning you and stuff. Like being a nurse, you know, like the girl is usually the one who's the nurse, and then the doctor will be a male.
So even weird.
Flight attendant usually is a feminine role.
It's so weird that we
and
have
then
like
the pilot will be the male.
It's so weird that we have these like gendered like jobs too. Society's like standards for what it means to be a man is kind of fucked.
I know.
I mean, just society's standard on gender roles in general is kind of fucked. But back to our dads.
Back to our dads. Since it's Father's Day, we talk about like how do we show love to our dads, or vice versa, how does our dad show love to us?
It's hard to think about. I feel like
honestly, it's really hard. Like, it's so hard. I don't even know how I show love to my dad.
The thing is, like, because I'm so like I don't live with them. I don't. This is weird, but I don't casually call up my dad and have a conversation with him. Like,
oh no.
Yeah, I just call my mom. Like every time I do, I call my mom, and if by coincidence my dad is like there with her, they're eating lunch or something, then I talk to him. I never like talk to him one-on-one, except for Father's Day. I called him yesterday and then we talked one-on-one, but other than that, like, I don't really. I think it's just so unspoken.
Yeah,
but then that's the thing is, because there's no communication, then it's like,
so
we're just guessing. Yeah.
Like, does he love me or does he not?
Yeah, so it's a lot of like acts of service. And it's a lot of quality time, I'd say. I think that how I show love to both my parents, especially my dad, I think is quality time, like prioritizing the time I have with them over everything else. Because even if we're just sitting for a meal, not talking about anything substantial, I think that's how I show love, which is hard when I'm overseas. Talking on the phone with my mom is a way of showing love, like having that quality time. So I think it's hard for me when I'm abroad to show love to my dad, because I don't know, there's no quality time. And you know, the weird thing is, like, because so many things between my dad and I are unspoken, and like it's so unspoken, and the phone just isn't a good channel for us to communicate. And every time I talk to him on the phone, it's very much like not a one-sided conversation, but he's always like, remember to not, like, you know, he's like cautioning me or like showing care in the sense of like, remember to sleep early, like eat healthy, and and then I think he talked to me yesterday too on the phone. He was like, I pray for you every night. So I guess that's how he shows love. I pray for them every night too, but it's just so interesting that it's so unsaid. It's like all these things you do for the person. I think he does show love to me through supportive words of affirmation, but then sometimes that doesn't like click with me. I think like words of affirmation just isn't my love language. So just like spending time together, I think my dad's way of showing me he cares also, like when I'm home, is spending time with us, because he's really busy with work. So anytime he like prioritizes like going out to lunch with us or something. And
I think it's like a very common way for dad to like show love.
It's just hard when it's like acts of service. It's just hard when you're not in the same place.
Definitely. Like, I think when I was living in LA and not physically with my parents, like, I probably talked to them like once a month when we like
call, that's college though,
go Zoom call or something.
Yeah
But do you mean like it's different when like not college?
Yeah, I feel like in college I definitely didn't call my parents that much, because are so busy, time difference. But then now I try to call them. Well, my mom, at least, I try to call her like every other day. I can't go without calling her. It's weird. How about you and your dad?
I think we still like definitely active service, and more so now too, because he's doing all the housework and like cooking and everything. I think that's how he shows his support.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah.
And also, just in general, I think my dad is definitely more understanding now. And I think they're also like making an effort to not be the traditional, very like narrow-minded type of parents, in a sense that, for example, like how right now I'm unemployed, but they're not pressuring me, so like I need to find a job right away, or they did not tell me that I have to go into a certain career, or well, they talk about how like they're open-minded with whatever race I date to, as long as they're good people. You know, I think there are some like stereotypical like Asian parent standards that they don't really fit into, and I think they're consciously kind of fighting that too. I think that's how my dad shows love to me.
Very unspoken.
Yeah, it's very unspoken.
I feel like there's just so many
there's this thing between us recently. That is so funny. Okay, so Long story short, I started watching K-drama like a few months ago. I watched like a Taiwan class, and we're all like,
oh my god, that K-drama. That's our next show.
We're it's really good, next. Right? And then I'm the type of person who, like, when I start watching K-drama, I start talking, talking Korean.
Oh my god!
I started calling my mom Omani and my dad Apuji.
Oh my god!
I don't even know if that's the right word. And then yeah, that's how I've been calling them for like the past 3 months.
Oh.
And then I'll be like, I'll wake up every morning. I'll be like, good morning, Apuji.
Oh.
And as a joke, my dad will be like, good morning, sweetie.
What?
Yeah, it sounds so weird. I guess that's also how we show love to, like, piggyback on each other's joke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that's the, I guess, like, the, what's the word, corniest thing he's ever said to me.
Mm.
But we never said, like, I love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just like that. Yeah, that's just so funny. Yeah, I guess that's how we show love to each other every morning.
Awesome. Just so, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things that they not necessarily like just like do for us, because they do a lot for us, obviously. They're our parents, they're our dads, but I think there's a lot of things that they try to do to us to show love, but because it's unspoken, we don't really like realize it in the moment, and then like you think about it after and you're like, oh my gosh, this small thing that they did is something like a way of them trying to tell us they love us.
Yeah,
but it's hard to like realize when it's not obviously in front of you, but there's definitely things that they do for us that we don't know. And I think vice versa too. I think sometimes I try to be really intentional with things, and then it just, I don't think they get it.
It's like it's so interesting how I don't know, like, I got a present for my dad's birthday, and it's also Father's Day present because it's in the same month. Anyways, so after, like, when I gave him the present, and then, like, the way he thanked me is, like, so awkward. He's like, oh, okay, thank you.
Aww.
You
know?
Yeah, not like, we're not gonna, like, kiss and, like, be like, oh my gosh, thank you, I love it.
No, you know, hug, yeah.
Not like that. They're just like, oh yeah,
I feel that. Even like,
it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, even like when like I receive something from them, I feel like I'm like, oh, thanks.
Yay. Yeah.
Or I feel like though,
yeah,
now,
me too.
As I'm older, I think there are certain things that need to be said though, and I know that they're not gonna say it, so I like force myself to say it. Not verbally though. I usually like try to write it in birthday cards or like even Father's Day cards sometimes. So like last summer, I think, well, this year I pre-wrote like a Father's Day card for my dad, but it was like really simple. But I think last year the card I wrote to him was like, I typed it up on like Microsoft Word. It was like very in-depth of like just things I like want to say but like can't really say. Yeah. And then like, that was it. I gave it to him, and then I was like, just don't read it. Because he was like, should I read it now? And I was like, no. So I think he just read it, and then I don't know what happened to it, or I don't know his response to it, because obviously, like, we're not going to talk about it in person.
It's awkward.
But I was just like, it's not, like, bad things. It's just, like, expressing gratitude and, like, things I don't say verbally.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That is I think that's how I show love now. Like, I want to write it down so that at least I, like, said it. I think it's more for myself. Like, I don't want to regret not saying anything kind of thing.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Like, how, like, what do you think is the reason why we are so, like, often so uncommunicative about our emotions or, like, our love to our dads? Or even vice versa, why are they so uncommunicative in that sense? You know, like, why is it so unspoken?
That's a big question.
Are some thoughts.
I think part of it is, like, they feel like they need to be this, like, strong man, I guess. They feel like they can't show you emotion. I think that's part of it. They feel like they need to keep everything in. That's so ironic, though, because I feel like my mom's the one who keeps everything in. She's, like, the one who does, she never wants to burden anyone, but I think parents in general. And I think that they have certain, I guess, expectations that they have to feel like, oh, I am being a good father, or like, I'm a good husband, I'm a good man, or like, I'm a worthy man. I feel like that's, it's a lot of that, especially within Asian culture too. I think, well, I don't know if this ties to like being in like the LGBT plus community as well, but I think a lot of people feel like in the US, like a lot of people are very open and accepting of their identities, and society is more accepting of these identities, right? Even though I'm not saying that like people who are discovering their gender in that way in the US, it's still a very hard journey, I feel like, because again, like, you know, these gender roles that are society sees as normal in quotes, but then I think in Asia, like Hong Kong specifically, it's even more like prominent. So I feel like people have more pressure to be masculine, to like take care of the household, and even like people in Hong Kong who are gay, like gay men, it's like I think the pressure is even more than people here in the US. I don't know how I related it to that. I just I don't know what I'm saying.
It makes sense though. Like, I don't know if it's directly related, but I think there is, because like LGBTQ plus community is so looked down upon in Hong Kong culture. I don't know about like other Asian culture, but like in Hong Kong culture, I feel like it's pretty looked down upon, and it's like so ingrained in us ever since we're like a kid, you know, like you will be making fun of people who are like, you'll be making fun of boys who are like acting a little more feminine, and then like you'll call them lying, right? I don't even know what it is in English. Lying, like kind of like weird though, but in like a feminine way.
Yeah, it's like negatively feminine, like joke. Like term.
And then it's used to like describe men who are acting like female. Anyways, so I think because it's so looked down upon, like maybe there's a greater pressure on men to like act more masculine and like quote unquote straight.
And also like just, not that I know a lot about like all boys schools, there's a lot of all boys schools in Hong Kong, right? Like even I went to an all girls school, so like our brother school, whatever, so, I don't know what it's called, but like the school that we're often associated with is like all male like school, and the popular kids, whatever, the most popular group of guys are like the most straight, the most like athletic, the most like photogenic people often. And I feel like the rules in schools like bind people to think that they have to be a certain way, like bind men specifically to have to feel a certain way to be masculine. I don't know. It's it seems like there's no room for like anything else
in between. There's no room for anything else. So true. Like even when I feel like when maybe two dudes are like, you know, just having like closer like physical touch, like even giving a hug, I'm pretty sure like two dudes giving a hug is considered like gay and would be made fun of.
Yeah, that's why people are so,
you know, men, like guys, men are so crying. It's also still taboo, I feel like.
I think so. I think it's I'm just thinking, like, there's definitely have been gay couples, like, in all boys' school, like, local boys' schools. I feel like it's better in international schools. I feel like the stigma isn't as bad. But, like, if you go to an all-boys, all-girls school, like, there's more stigma. And, like, speaking from personal experience, like, in my all-girls school, there were a lot of tomboys, right? Like girls who didn't identify as guys but dressed like guys, and I think felt more comfortable in that sense, because even girls' school, like the uniform, all the rules and stuff, it's very pushing this idea of like femininity, of like being timid, you know, like following rules kind of like ideas. Not to say that they didn't have, I think they did a really good job at developing my some of my qualities that I really like, but I can see why for girls who don't really identify with that feminine side, that would be like really hard. Mm-hmm. But then I feel like those tomboys that resulted from all girls school, or not resulted, the tomboys who I knew in school, I think in Hong Kong culture, they're not as looked down upon. Like, if a woman is more masculine, but then I'm sure there were, like, gay couples also in all-boys school as well, or, like, people who were more gender fluid, right? And I think those were not as accepted, probably. And then actually the first time that I heard about, because I don't really know that many people in Hong Kong, to be honest. Like, my scope is only, like, my high school group of girls.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I talk to my friends who are in university in Hong Kong, they're like, oh, yeah, there's a lot, like, they know a lot of, like, gay couples or, like, people who are more gender fluid. And that was the first time I was exposed to that, or, like, the first time I, like, actually heard of someone who is not straight, or, like, actually met someone, a man, I guess, a man who is not, like, identifying as a straight male, which is, like, shocking to me because I was, like, 18, 19 at that point, right? Like, that's, like, and I think that's also when people often really come fully identify with that identity when they're in college or when they're like in university. It's hard when you're in high school and you're in an all like same gender school as well. I really want to talk to someone who like went to all boys school now. I want to know.
And I also feel like, so for my family, like we do have like LGBTQ members and my mom's side of the family. And I think it's so interesting how their identity is kind of, it's unspoken. Like, it's kind of like everybody in the family knows it, but no one wants to admit it. I think, I mean, I feel like my mom's generation, like the younger generation, we are more accepting of it. But like for my grandparents, like they never really talk about it. I think when they were younger, I'm sure there were some, like, arguments about it. But I think as it now, like, it's been so long that they kind of just accepted it. But at the same time, like, they don't really talk about it. Like, my relatives, they won't bring the sprouts to their, to our family gathering when my grandparents are there. Sometimes not, oh, well, actually they did, but like as friends, you know? I mean, they're not married. But like, I just feel like well, there's they can't this, be. Like,
wait, here in the US or in Hong Kong?
Here.
Oh, in the US. Oh, okay.
In the US. I think that's why they moved here too, maybe.
That makes sense.
And I don't know. I just feel like it's so interesting because we kind of all know it, but then like we won't openly accept it. And I feel like sometimes like being a part of the LGBTQ like in Asian culture is seen as like shame.
And I think part of that is also like parental shame, like not like not intentionally, you know. I think that it's so interesting because I feel like my parents are the same way. Like, I feel like we're straying away from our topic, but it's okay. Like there are times when I hang out with my high school friends who are tomboys, and then my mom would like hints like, oh, who are you hanging out with? And I think she's scared that I would like them or something. And then I think that like, because even now one of my cousins, actually, she's dating a tomboy as well. And I think that I told my parents about it because I ran into them once in a mall and I just like had a conversation with them. And then I told my parents about it, and then like I don't know what their reaction was. Like I don't actually know their reaction, but they're just like, oh, nodding and agreeing. And I think with them, it's a lot of like, oh, I see. Like I can accept it when other people are doing it, but like if you like if I did it, I think that they would say no, or they would like not want that for me. I think because like my parents are very traditional in that way that they want me to get married and have kids and stuff, and I think they are scared that, and that's why they're scared when I hang out with my tomboy friends. I think they're scared that like for some reason like I will become I don't know. I just think they have such a solid idea of gender. They don't like realize it's very fluid. And I think they just think that like you just turn gay somehow. I don't know. Like,
yeah. No, no, they definitely do. And I think it's very interesting too. Like what you said, they are more accepting of other people being gay, but not their own child. I think that's really interesting because, okay, there was one time I remember, I think it was a Pride Month, and then, no, I don't know, I just had, like, a rainbow ribbon on my backpack, and then it was in supportive of, like, the gay LGBTQ plus community, right? And then my mom saw it, and then she asked me, wait, are you, like, one of those?
Oh, my God.
And then I'm like, oh, no, I mean, just for like supporting the community, you know. I think they're scared of me being like one of those.
Yeah.
And also my cousin's family in Hong Kong, they're moving to the UK soon.
Oh.
And one of my cousin, she's kind of like tomboy-ish, you know. And then my parents, my family, they were talking about how like, oh, like you can't let her live in dorms. Because they've heard a lot of like girls turn into like lesbians after they live in dorms. I don't know, because they live with a bunch of girls. I don't know. Like, well, and then they're like, oh, yeah, like, yeah. Don't let her live in dorms, or else she'll turn into lesbian. And then I'm like, what? I don't think you just like turn into lesbian. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's something inherently in you, and then maybe later on you discovered that's what you like. It's just funny. So weird to me.
It's funny how like more traditional thinkers put the idea like immediately on like, oh, just like don't let her socialize and live with these other girls because then she'll become lesbian, instead of like, but yeah. She was like suppressed, or like I feel like a lot of people in university like discover themselves and they like finally feel like they can be themselves, so like maybe that's why, not because like she other people turned her it's a lesbian.
Yeah.
I just think it's a funny thought process, but then I guess we can't blame them for that.
I think that, well, okay, honestly, we're so far away from what I know we're gonna talk about, but I think it still relates back to
masculinity, how, like gender.
Like masculinity and gender, and because there's so much pressure, like there's so much homophobia and like the pressure to be like quote unquote like a normal man, and that's why this toxic masculinity is putting a pressure on fathers or even our dads to like act in a certain way so they're like within the norm, you know, they have to fit into that masculinity mold.
Yeah, a lot of them don't realize they're doing it, though, I think. Like, I think my dad is very traditionally masculine, but I think he doesn't realize it. And sometimes it can be unhealthy. And, like, just even in general, like, the societal context, I think. Like, even with, well, China had the one-child policy. I think it's not just, like, Hong Kong. I think it's just, like, Chinese people in general I think with the one-child policy, a lot of people chose having boys over girls, or, like, chose keeping male babies over female babies because of the traditional whatever. This is what I also don't understand. Like, why is it so important for males, like, family name to be passed on? Maybe that's because of, like, toxic masculinity as well. Or maybe it's, like, a Chinese, like, traditional... Is it, like, a pride thing, or is it, like,
I think there are two, like, reasons. I feel like from, what's the word, like, biological, evolutional standpoint, like, the male is the one who, well, to them is, like, can inherit whatever it is. But, like, for, you know how, like, for female, after they marry someone, they have to, like, they go into the other person's home. No, they live in another family's home.
Right.
And I think also like the last name thingy. Because the guy gets to carry his last name after they get married, so then they can, what's the word? And like the inherit the family line.
Yeah, it like it keeps going
on. Yeah, but then if you're a girl, then you'll be married to another family, and then like that line just stop from there. So like for my family, like we basically quote unquote stop from there in the traditional Chinese family sense.
Yeah, for mine too.
So I think it's a part of the pride of that, you know, you want your family line to like keep going.
Yeah, and I think sometimes inherently like male children are definitely more uplifted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, is that because of like toxic masculinity though? I think it's more cultural. I think the last name thing is definitely, I think
it's
more
like a cycle, you know, like they influence each other.
Yeah, it's just a very unhealthy mindset, I think, even for parents. Like parents always like wish to have a boy unconsciously. Yeah, do you think your, I mean, we talked about this a little bit already, do you think your dad like tries to or like fits those expectations that society has for men?
I think yes and no. In terms of, I would say in terms of his personality, he's very like masculine, like dai la mian. Like he does not like any of like anything that is like slightly feminine, you know. There's like so like very weird thing that are considered like you're gay or like feminine, like striped shirts. He does not like to wear that, like horizontally striped shirts, and like I don't know, sometimes deep V shirts. No. Ear piercings. No. And of course, like there's like gesture that suggests you're like gay. Like, oh my gosh, I saw this TikTok. Have you seen this TikTok?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. No. You know, like act very masculine, like manny. And so in terms of that, I think he's like very dai la mian, very masculine, and also he's like very moody sometimes. Like if we did something that he doesn't like, and he's very impatient. Like you get like a little bit like what happened? What's the word? Poker face. Poker face.
RBF.
Yeah. Yeah, and then my mom and I were like giving each other like eyes, and then we know we need to, you know, just try not to like make him angry or anything. But however, I think like I said before, in terms of like responsibilities, I think he's more willing to take on more like household responsibility and help out and contribute to the household. And then I think in that sense, he does not fit into like the traditional father expectation.
Yeah,
that's what his standard. I don't know. Yeah. Stereotype.
I think my dad is just very, very typical straight man. Straight like head of the household, like family man. I think that also stems from like him really valuing family and like feeling he needs to take on all this responsibility, but I think a lot of it is also embedded in the way he grew up. He grew up with like a lot of men near around him. And he's like the youngest, so I think he like tries to be like the people who came before him. And I think that he like even now a lot of the big decisions like are made with his agreement. Like a lot of big like things, or like a lot of decisions that, well, financial decisions too, and like a lot of things that sometimes I talk to my mom about, like that, oh, she wants to do, or like we want to do, and then we always have to consult my dad, I guess, which is fair. I don't know. And then even like I think sometimes because my mom is also so traditional, she's very like selfless and traditional in the way that she, I think she thinks that he has more power within the household subconsciously. Like, it's not like he's abusive or he's, like, actively, like, trying to take control. I think it's just so embedded within him and her that they're, like, the typical, like, working dad, like, stay-at-home mom, like, kind of dynamic. They're older, too, so they have very traditional beliefs. Like, and I think a lot of things also, like, because my mom is so religious, I think a lot of things she reads in the Bible, I guess, are also very traditionally, like, gender straight. And so I think sometimes the way she responds to my dad also like gives him that
mm-hmm.
feeds into that masculinity sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's so subconscious.
I think that's so interesting because have you heard of like story of how like if a woman in a household is more successful or like mm-hmm. earn more money than the man, then the woman needs to like, I don't know, I feel like there's this pressure on the woman to like make the man to like take back control. Like we can be overpowering. We have to like let them decide on something so then they can save their masculinity in the household.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think men get butthurt sometimes when women are more successful and make more money. I know I think they try to compensate in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about my friends, actually, and a lot of guy friends that I am close to are either, like, raised by their mom or, mm-hmm. like, they have a stronger relationship with their mom because a lot of them are more sensitive and more, like, people that I can, like, have deeper conversations and more vulnerable, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because I think I also know a lot of people who are trying to or they not their fault, but I think they grew up in a world where they see the older generation acting a certain way as men and they feel like they have to do that as well mm-hmm. to be a man or be successful or be a strong whatever society wants you to be. And I think that it shows sometimes, like I observe people who try to compensate their masculinity with being like overly arrogant, like very over the top.
Yeah.
Or even like doing things detrimental to themselves. Like it really hurts their self-esteem, which is kind of sad.
Mm-hmm.
I think, which is interesting to me because just like a lot of people I'm close to grew up with a mom figure, like without a father figure.
Mm.
Well, happy Father's Day. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Happy Father's Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I have like one last thing that I can like
yes
bring us to conclusion. End, I actually have like a show suggestion on Netflix that we can watch to like I don't know if you heard of Ali Wong.
Mm-hmm.
She's a stand-up comedian and she's also in what's the show called? Ali Wong with Randall Park. What's that movie?
Oh yeah. Don't remember. I watched it. I'm gonna look it up.
Anyways,
Ali Wong.
Anyways, I really love her two stand-up comedy on Netflix, and it talks about motherhood. Also talks about like being an Asian woman, sexuality, like an Asian woman exploring her sexuality. And her relationship with her husband, I think is a very liberating experience.
Yeah.
To like watch her stand up comedy is really, really funny. So if any one of you want something like funny and very dirty to watch on Netflix, I recommend watching Ali Wong.
Baby okay.
Cobra.
Also, it's called what?
Baby Cobra.
Like the snake?
Oh, no. It's the comedy. The name of the show, Baby Cobra. Not
it's
the one
Baby
with
Baby Cobra?
Yeah, not the film. The film is Always Be My Maybe.
Always Be My Maybe.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Baby
but anyways,
Cobra.
Yeah.
Oh, she has two. She has Hard Knock Wife and...
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna watch
these.
It's
so funny. So funny.
Yes. Okay. Well, I feel like we went on so many tangents in this episode.
So
that's okay.
Thank you for enduring us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, obviously, we're not men, so we're just kind of speaking from our own experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a male who like can speak to these experiences,
please
message
us. Know.
I want to learn. Yeah. I know. I want to like have a conversation about this. my pillow fell. But yes. And like if you don't agree with some things, I don't know. I feel like a lot of things that I was saying was like very opinional, like, yeah, standpoint. Yeah, like
things that we observe, not actually
actual experiences. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So if you have a different experience, please let us know, because yes, I want to hear. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. I guess that's it for this episode.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in. Follow us on social media. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next week in our next episode.
Yeah. Outro music.